You're listening to the Options Insider Radio Network. For more quality options programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio Network in your podcast provider of choice. Listeners can also access all of our programming through our mobile app, available in iTunes and on Google Play. Don't forget to follow along with your favorite programs and submit your own questions for the hosts at twitter.com/options, facebook.com/theoptionsinsider, or via questions@theoptionsinsider.com.
This is the Option Industry Council's Wide World of Options. Before we start today's show, investors should know that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. OIC makes no recommendation with respect to any financial firm. OIC does not make any warranty as to the accuracy, usefulness, timeliness, or the continued availability or existence of information created or maintained by others. Multiple leg strategies involve multiple commission charges. Opinions and strategies expressed by others are not necessarily those of OIC, nor does OIC endorse, warrant, or guarantee products, services, or information described or offered by such firms. Commissions, fees, margins, interest, and taxes have not been included in any of the examples used in this show. These costs impact the outcome of all stock and options transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential consequences. None of the information presented in this show should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell security or to provide investment advice. Welcome to the Options Industry Council's Wide World of Options. OIC was created in 1992 to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. And the Wide World of Options radio show is one of the ways the message is spread. OIC also offers a variety of other resources to those interested in learning more about options, including webinars, podcasts, and live events. For more information, check out optionseducation.org. Now, here's your host, OIC's Director of Individual Investor Education, Joe Burgoyne.
Welcome to OIC's Wide World of Options. Thanks for joining us for today's show. Let's get started first with Strategy Spotlight.
It's time to break down the latest option strategies. That means it's time for Strategy Spotlight.
Joining us today on Strategy Spotlight is Tony Zhang, Chief Strategist at Options Play. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us today. Strategy Spotlight, the whole idea is to get into an option strategy in a little bit of depth. But before we do that, how about if you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your firm Options Play?
Yeah, so thank you for having me, first of all. My name is Tony Zhang. I'm the Chief Strategist here at Options Play. We are a financial technology company. We build options trading tools and education, and our mission is really simple. We want to build the most intuitive options trading experience for retail and financial advisors, and we built this truly out of necessity as traders, traders who wanted to automate our workflow and make the amount of time it takes for us to research an options trade down from a few seconds down to a few seconds, because we realized that a trader's workflow a lot of times is quite repetitive day in and day out. So we wanted to automate a lot of those steps and make the analysis of our option strategies as intuitive as possible. So that's really how we started Options Play. And, you know, now we take our products, our technology, our education, and even some of our marketing experience, and we effectively help brokerage firms, exchanges, and wealth advisors grow their options business.
It's a beautiful thing. Before we get into the strategy we're going to talk about, how long has Options Play been around?
Been around for 6 years now.
Fantastic. Well, certainly I'm familiar with your technology. I think it's wonderful. And, you have simplified a lot of the options noise that's out there through your products. So, it's great that you're making some inroads in the industry, as you are.
So yeah,
go ahead.
I was just saying it's been quite an evolution over the last 6 years, growing with other with different firms, learning along the way, understanding the industry and what everyone needs, all the different market participants needs to grow this industry. It's been a very fun experience for us.
Hard to please everybody, but you're trying, I know. So let's get to, you know, the topic you wanted to discuss, and that's debit spreads. You know, how about if you maybe start by why'd you pick debit spread, and then maybe for our listeners who aren't sure what a debit spread is, define it.
Yeah. So a debit spread, the reason I want to talk about it is because it's really one of my favorite strategies of the trade. Whenever I have a directional view on the on a specific stock or ETF, I almost always go to the debit spread as my first strategy to look at. And the reason for this is because it really allows me to have directional exposure, either bullish or bearish exposure, with relatively small and limited risk. And the key here is limited risk. And I want to be able to try to deploy my capital as efficiently as possible. And debit spreads really allow me to do that. There are very simple rules to manage a debit spread, which is something I really like. You know, I'm fairly busy. I don't have time to stare at the screens all day long. So being able to have simple rules to know exactly when to get in, when to get out, really helps me manage these trades. And the fact that they have relatively low risk of assignment means that I don't have to watch these all the time and be concerned, am I going to get assigned on the short leg? And really, for those that are newer to options trading, if you buy long calls or puts, debit spreads are really just an evolution of long calls or puts, because it really allows you to mitigate some of the time decay that you have to work against with your long calls and puts. That really, in my opinion, is what makes debit spreads one of my favorite strategies to trade.
So folks who are just starting out, how about if you offer an example so they, you know, we're buying one, selling another, but, you know, give us an example.
Yeah, so let's use stock XYZ trading at $100 as an example. So if I was bullish on stock XYZ and I think the stock's going to rise to maybe 105 or 110, traditionally as a call buyer, I would just buy maybe a 100 strike call. So that would allow me to take advantage of a bullish move in stock XYZ. However, that call sometimes might be quite expensive. And one of the ways to help offset that cost of that long call is to sell an out-of-the-money call against that. So I might sell a 105 or 110 call against that, so an out-of-the-money call. And what that usually does is it reduces the cost of the long call, but still gives me a directional exposure to the upside up to a certain degree. So I get to choose that strike price. We usually start off a debit spread with an expiration date that's about 45 to 60 days out. This is really because we want to mitigate some of that time decay by going a little further out in time. And when you go a month and a half, 2 months out, you reduce the theta or the time decay every single day. And we usually buy a in-the-money call to start with, a slightly in-the-money. So about a 50 to 60 delta call on the long leg is usually a good starting point. And for the short leg, we usually sell about a 15 delta call against that. And the reason for selling a 15 delta call is because we want to sell a call that's relatively far out of the money, that has a relatively low probability of being hit, yet it still brings in enough premium to offset the cost of that long leg. So we usually find that when we sell a 15 delta call, we can usually offset the long call by about a 10 to 20% of the premium, which really goes a long way in reducing your risk by 10 to 20%. It reduces the time decay because you have a short leg against the long leg, and you've reduced the break-even cost of that trade. So stock XYZ does not need to go as far in order for the strategy to be profitable.
Good explanation. So back to XYZ at $100. We're buying a call. It's a little bit in the money. So maybe are we buying the 95 call and, like you said, selling the 105 or 110? Is that kind of what we're doing?
Exactly. So we usually like to go the long leg. It's usually about a 50-60 delta. So that might actually be about maybe a $98, $97 call, and then selling maybe a 110 call against that is usually the type of strikes that we see. And like I said, with that type of structure, you're able to reduce the cost of that long leg by about a 10 to 20% savings.
So in that approach, and you mentioned, you know, the deltas being in the neighborhood of 50-60, 10 to 15, That really is, so you're looking to put on these vertical spreads for somewhere in the neighborhood of a 40 net delta generally?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And given that, now it's going to depend on, you know, the difference between the strikes, whether it's a $5 differential, 10, 15, or so on. Let's say it's a $10 differential. You know, can you generalize what that cost of the 40 delta spread is going to cost?
We usually find that it really depends on the implied volatility of the option. So, but that could be anywhere from, I would say, about 2% of the underlying to about 10 to 15% of the underlying on a very high volatile stock. But so you're getting that directional exposure at a small fraction of the cost to buy 100 shares while still getting the same exposure as 100 shares. And that's really the benefit of trading debit spreads versus outright buying the stock or even outright buying the call option, is being able to get that directional exposure for a very, very small fraction of the underlying cost, which also means that that's your total risk. So meaning, and that's really why we trade options, right? It's the fact that we can get that directional exposure, but in the event that we're wrong, and as traders, we have to admit that there's plenty of times that we're just simply wrong in our analysis, that we have limited risk. So when I'm risking 2 to 5% of the underlying stock, and when the trade goes against me, I cannot lose more than 2 to 5%. And that is the beauty of trading debit spreads, in my opinion.
Amen. It is always about risk first. So you did mention a couple things in there, and you talked about implied volatility. If you would, just elaborate, you know, how important, whether it is or is not, in the context of the debit spread.
So in the form of the debit spread, your vega exposure or your exposure to the change in implied volatility is actually relatively small, at least compared to your exposure in the underlying change, the delta exposure that you have with the delta spread. So in my opinion, your implied volatility assumptions, in my opinion, are actually relatively not as important for this particular type of strategy versus your outlook on the underlying stock, because your delta exposure far, far outweighs your vega exposure or the exposure you have to the change in implied volatility.
Not that it matters, but I totally agree. you mentioned, Tone, that, you know, you put these spreads on with 45 to maybe 60 days out. Why that time frame first?
So that's more of a perhaps a personal preference, because most of my trades are more swing trades, especially when I have a directional view on the markets. My views usually play out within a few weeks. So that's why the 45 to 60 day range is a good starting point for me. But I generally find that if you go any shorter than 45 days, you know, time decay starts being more a bigger issue. And really part of the reason of why we trade debit spreads is we want to negate as much of that time decay as possible. So that's why going 45 to 60 days out is a good place to go out. You know, if you go further than 60 days, we tend to find that you're probably better off trading calendars or diagonals, where you're long a significantly longer time frame, but you're selling shorter dated options against it. Because if you're selling options that are greater than 60 days, you're just not getting that time decay factor on that short leg. So that's why that 45 to 60 day is kind of that sweet spot that I really like trading.
Okay, that's the initiation side. How about getting out? Are these trades that you like to hold to expiration? You get out a couple weeks before, do you have a favorite approach there?
Yeah, so with debit spreads, it's really quite similar to being long calls or puts, in the sense that these are strategies that you generally should not trade, you should not hold till expiration. You generally want to get out of debit spreads and long calls or puts before expiration, either at a gain or a loss. As far as where you get out, that's really part of why I like trading debit spreads, because the rules to manage the trade is really, really simple, at least in my opinion. So my rules are, if I lose 50% of what I paid for that debit spread, it's time to cut losses. If I made 75 to 100% gains, it's time to at the very least take partial profits, if not full profits. And it doesn't matter whether I spend $100 on a debit spread or $1,000 on a debit spread, or whether I'm collecting, it doesn't matter the distance of the strikes. It's the same type of rules. Unlike other strategies like credit spreads, where you have to factor in, you know, how much of the credit you're receiving with respect to the width that determines where to cut losses, there's none of those rules with debit spreads. It's really straightforward. You know, 50% stop loss, 75 to 100% gains, it's time to start taking profits. And you always want to do one of these two prior to expiration.
You did a heck of a job in explaining that. I was going to ask you to, you know, repeat your exit point and on both sides, and you already did that. Great explanation. Let's see. As far as, you know, one other key, and this isn't so much the spread itself, but this is the opinion. You know, you start off the discussion by talking about, you know, a directional view of the underlying. You want to offer how you go about that, and I know we're taking a little bit of a different course here, and then I want to come back to one more options-related question.
Yeah, so I might be a little biased in this from the perspective, you know, I spent the first 7 years of my career in the FX world, and in the FX world, we spend a lot of time looking at charts. So I learned how to trade using technical indicators, so it's a big influence on my trading strategy. So I use technical indicators for the most part to generate my buy or sell signals on my options trades, but I primarily look at a top-down approach. I really look at relative strength and trend of the market first. Then I look at the sectors. I take a look at what sectors are strong, what sectors are weak, and that really helps me try to identify the strongest stocks and the strongest sectors in a strong market for bullish opportunities, or the weak stocks and weak sectors in a relatively bearish market for bearish opportunities. So I really take that top-down approach with my trading, and I only use momentum indicators like MACD or stochastics as a simple trigger in terms of timing, but in terms of figuring out what universe of stocks to look at, I take that top-down approach of looking at relative strength, trend, and only lastly do I use my momentum indicators to time the exact entries or exits of a specific trade.
Fantastic. You did review, you know, exit points. You know, when you put on this directional spread, you know, debit spread, you know, is the target for the underlying to get to that short strike?
Generally speaking, yes. That is a good target price to have. But that doesn't always work out exactly the way it works. So, but again, that's why I like the simple rules of cutting your losses when you've lost 50% of the spread, or taking profit at 75 to 100% gains, because you might find yourself reaching those stop loss and take profit targets well short of that target price. But if you're able to make those types of gains, it's time to take profit. And that's, again, why I really like the strategy, because you don't have to have specific target prices in mind. You can just monitor the gains and losses of the spread in order to determine when to exit the trade.
Well, Tony, you know, I think it's the first time we've had you here on Wide World of Options. I know from hearing you out on the road that you always do a great job, you know, in explaining strategies and concepts very clearly. Again, you've done the same thing again today. Any closing thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, for those of you that are learning about options trading, if you've learned about buying calls or puts, really take a look at debit spreads, because they are fairly easy to manage. They really mitigate some of the risks with trading long calls or puts, which is namely the high amount of decay that you have with those strategies. They have simple risk to reward with debit spreads, because you have a defined potential reward and defined potential risk, which is always easier to manage, just also from an emotional perspective, because trading is quite emotional, especially when you're losing money. So having that plan before you trade is really important in helping you manage your trade while you're in it. And this strategy really allows you to have a directional exposure without getting into a lot of risk. So I just want to thank everyone for taking the time out this morning to listen to me talk about my favorite strategy, and I hope you guys learned something from this.
I think for sure, Tone, and, you know, one of the great things about, you know, podcasts like this, folks, you know, because you offer an awful lot, folks can go back and listen to it 2, 3, and 4 times, which I think they do from time to time. One last thing. How can our listeners find Options Play?
Yeah, so you can learn more about what I spoke about here at optionsplay.com. We offer a free trial to our platform. And as part of that, you get free weekly educational webinars where I actually do a lot of deep dives into strategies like debit spreads. I spend a lot of time talking about debit spreads, credit spreads, buying calls and puts, and even selling cover calls and cash secured puts, some of my favorite strategies. So we really do a deep dive into these strategies and actually show you how to implement them using Options Play. And you can find out that at optionsplay.com.
Well, Tony Zhang, Chief Strategist at Options Play, I want to thank you so much for offering your expertise this morning on OIC's Wide World of Options.
Next, let's upgrade your options toolbox with cutting-edge trading platforms, devices, and information. Let's talk about tools, resources, and good reads.
In today's tools, resources, and good reads, we'll start on the tool side at optionseducation.org. Once on the website, click the menu at the top left of the homepage. Go to section 10. There you'll find option quotes, calculators, and volatility charts. We offer options pricing calculators, a covered call calculator, and a collar calculator. As is the case with all OIC option tool and resources, they come to you free of charge. In all, there are 12 different sections of learning on the website. If you're interested in learning about options or are looking for a refresher, start here at optionseducation.org. The content is excellent, and you can't beat the price. Today's resource is one many of you may be aware of, but I'm guessing one that may be overlooked. Toward the back of Barron's each week is the Market Laboratory. It's usually 6 to 8 pages of charts, as well as some pretty interesting data that offers insights into the relative health of the markets. Fundamental data, investor sentiment, new highs and lows are just a few of the stats offered. For those of you who want to get really under the hood of what's moving the markets, this is a great place to look. That's Barron's Market Lab. Lastly, today's good read is one of the all-time option classics, Sheldon Natenberg's Options Volatility and Pricing. This book has gone through numerous editions, the first release going back to the 80s. It's an excellent read for investors who want to take their options knowledge to a higher level. Thanks for listening and joining us today on today's Tools, Resources, and Good Reads.
Ready for a little nostalgia? It's time to take a look back.
We'll pick up last show's looking back and our discussion on market bottoms. Not sure if you've had a chance to check the charts of some of those bottoms I mentioned in our last show. 1974, 1982, 2002, 2009, all really significant market bottoms. Now, many factors go into the daily and long-term movement of the markets, obviously. Things like economic fundamentals, Federal Reserve monetary policy, politics. Less obvious maybe, but in my opinion, at least as important, market sentiment. Now, as I mentioned last show, investors should not include buying and selling tops as an investment goal, but rather develop a discipline with appropriate homework to define markets as overbought or oversold. I would suggest go back in time, look at the charts and the markets at key bottoms. Measure the time from the top of the market to the bottom. Measure the distance below key moving averages at those points. Consider using 50-day, but more importantly, 200-day moving averages. Bollinger Bands are one tool that can be used for this type of analysis. Now, if you're so inclined, as I was on the trading floor, consider Elliott Wave analysis of the charts. For those familiar with this approach, you'll be trying to decide if the markets are in a fifth wave as we approach lower markets. ABC formations occur as well, but typically not for major lows. Bottom line here is market analysis is part science and art. If you enjoy studying and trying to figure out the markets, I encourage you to try some of the methods I've mentioned. Put together your own set of tools and rules to give you confidence in your opinion on the markets. Time spent doing this can be a heck of a lot of fun. It can also improve your returns in the long run. The markets are incredibly dynamic and fast-moving, as we know. Having a sense for where they are, combined with anticipating where they may go next, can offer lots of opportunity. Good luck. And thanks for listening to today's and last show's discussion on market bottoms. That's today's Looking Back.
We love connecting with our listeners. With that in mind, let's take a moment to answer a few questions on OIC's Wide World of Options Q&A segment.
In today's industry happenings, John L. asks, is it better to get long deltas by buying calls or selling puts? Thanks for the question, John. Both approaches do get you long deltas, but as you may know, the risks and payoffs are very different. Let's start with the short puts. Limited gain with very significant risk. As is the case when selling any option, the most you can make is the price you take in on the sale. The risk in the short put is to stop dropping significantly. Let's say you sell a $50 put for $5. Any stock price below $45 will mean a loss, with $45 being the maximum loss amount, because that's where the stock can potentially go to zero. So max gain, $5, with a maximum loss of $45 on the short $50 put at $5. It's unlikely the stock will go to zero, yes, but always be aware of your maximum loss. So that's the risk reward on the short put long delta trade. A long call delta trade has a significantly different risk profile, and that's key. As is the case with any option purchased, your max loss is defined at the outset. It's the price you paid for the option. The max gain, on the other hand, is unlimited because theoretically, a stock can go to infinity. So to answer your question, John, I can't say that one approach is necessarily better than the other, please be aware of the different risk profiles when you take on a long delta position. Good question. Now, today's other question comes from Diddy F. He asks, sell in May and go away. What option strategy benefits from the profound market malaise that occurs over the summer? Well, first, Diddy, having traded on the market, you know, on the market floor as an option specialist for over 20 years, I may question part of your question that suggests the profound market malaise that occurs over the summer. But that aside, no matter what time of year, you're really asking about what option strategies work in a sideways market. I'll give you a few. Time or horizontal spreads. Butterflies and condors, as well as iron butterflies and iron condors. Diagonal spreads can work too, but they often involve some delta, where the other spreads mentioned have less delta unless markets move in a big way up or down. All of these strategy choices have limited risks. They're spreads. There are other strategies as well. Short straddles, short strangles. These strategies are net short option positions that can profit handsomely in a sideways market, but these strategies have unlimited risk and require substantial capital to initiate. Hope that gives you a few things to think about, Giddy. Thanks for the question. That's it for today's industry happenings.
You've been listening to the Options Industry Council's Wide World of Options. If you have questions about anything you've heard on today's show, email Joe Burgoyne at options@theocc.com or visit optionseducation.org and chat with Investor Services. Interested in connecting with OIC on social media? Like the OIC page on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter at options_edu and Instagram at optionseducation, and follow their page on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the next episode of Wide World of Options. We'll be right back.
The preceding program was a production of the Options Insider Radio Network. For more quality options programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio Network in your podcast provider of choice. Listeners can also access all of our programming through our mobile app, available in iTunes and on Google Play. Don't forget to follow along with your favorite programs and submit your own questions for the hosts at twitter.com/options, facebook.com/The Options Insider, or via questions at theoptionsinsider.com.